Hello there, and welcome back to Beyond Survivor, The New Teacher. I'm really looking forward to introducing the second video of a five-part series which I'm calling New Teacher Essentials. And the purpose of today's video is to explore an area of teaching that I think is absolutely fascinating, and that is questioning. I'm going to break it down into two different sections in exactly the same way I explored yesterday. We're going to start by looking at why questioning is such an important tool for us to be reflecting on at all stages of our teaching. And then what I'm going to break that down into is five ways to make the most out of the questions you ask in your classroom. So let's start that with the why. So if we looked at any school across the world, we would see questioning in every single classroom. It's a technique that we use over and over again. And the reason for that, I think, is because it has so many rich purposes. The first most obvious one is that it's a way to check for understanding. It's a way for us to make sure that the young people are following cognitively what we are teaching at that particular point, to check. The second is it's a way to encourage real deep thinking. And that obviously is at the heart of what we're trying to do and achieve as teachers. We want to encourage thinking. And a really good question can open that up. The third is it's a way to ensure focus and engagement. Can be used as a way to check for it in terms of behavior, to make sure that young people are focused. We ask them a question to check and to make sure that their attention, which is a really precious commodity for us as teachers, is focused on what we're exploring. And for me, the very best lessons and the very best teachers, their lessons are packed full of questions. They ask questions over and over again on lots of different layers. And if we think about what happens to us when we are the recipient of a question, this makes lots and lots of sense. Our brains are hardwired to think of an answer when we're asked a question. We're starting initially, as soon as we hear one, to start thinking about a response. So that's a little bit on why, and hopefully you see it's as fascinating in its scope and its potential for what it can do in our classrooms. So what I'd like to do now is look at five ways to make the most of this tool that we use over and over again. And as you watch or listen to this, what I'd maybe encourage you to do is be reflective about your own practice. Think about in any of these five areas, is there an area that you're perhaps not as strong on and you could benefit from spending a little bit of time reflecting on? Another way to do it potentially is even to take a week to focus on questioning, and to have a day in which you do each one of these techniques and see what impact it has on your learners in your context. So the first one I'm going to talk about is about conveying sincerity. For me, I always knew my teaching was at its worst as an English teacher when I fell into that guess what is in the teacher's head trap. So I would ask a question, I knew what answer I wanted, the kids knew what answers I wanted, and it was just this game of cat and mouse in which it was predictable, it was boring, and it all felt really low in terms of energy levels. And actually what we really want to try and achieve is we want to try and achieve sincerity when we ask questions. We want to be as enthusiastic as when we're presenting new content in terms of when we ask questions. And there's a curiosity that we can apply to how we ask a question. And we can do that by saying things like, I'm really genuinely interested in the answers you might give here. I want to hear three different answers because I know this class is going to give me some really interesting thoughts that I probably haven't even thought about myself. And that last part is quite important for me because I think as teachers, What we really want to role model is we want to role model that beginner's mind. This kind of blank canvas. And this idea that actually we're going to learn as much from them as they are going to learn from us. So not presenting like we know the answer all the time, being open-minded and encouraging the young people to do exactly the same. And that genuine interest in the potential of the answer that they might offer us. Okay, so that's the first technique, convey sincerity. The second technique is leaving thinking time. Now, if we go all the way back to the 1970s, Mary Budrow was doing some fascinating research into the amount of wait time teachers left after answering a question, or asking a question rather. And she found that it was an average of 1 second. Now, her argument was that we need to leave 3 to 5 seconds after every question we pose in order to deepen the thinking time from young people. Now that was 5 seconds and that felt really unnatural. And it does, because what happens in a classroom is we ask questions at a rapid pace. And obviously that's got its place, absolutely. At times we'll want to do quick questioning. But there will be times where we want to leave that 3 to 5 seconds. And we can signpost that to make it feel a little bit less awkward. We can say, I'm now going to leave 4 seconds. And in that 4 seconds, I really want you as a class to be thinking. And then I'm going to ask 2 people. And I can't wait to hear what answers they're going to give me. Now, there's other ways you can do that. You can use the think, pair, share in order to encourage them to leave thinking time. So young people can do that thinking time together. You can say, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, discuss with the person next to you, what might the potential answers be to this question? You can also ask them to write something down. You can use a mini whiteboard, script an answer, spend 30 seconds writing down your answer, and then I'm going to hear it. So that's the second technique, leave thinking time. And I've left myself half the talk to do the last 3. Okay, so number 3 is follow up. Now, what often happens in a classroom is we ask a question and little Jimmy or little Jacqueline will give us an answer. And fairly often we say, excellent, Jacqueline. Thank you for that. Okay, folks, let's move on. But really what we're encouraging there is a superficial, surface layer answer. The tip of the iceberg. And there's going to be so much underneath that. So many rich things we could follow up with there. Even initially with Jimmy or Jacqueline themselves. And we could say, that's great. I really like that as a start. Is there anything else you can tell me there? Or can you build on that answer for me? Or we can move it around the class and say, what a great start. Thank you for that. Folks, is there anything else that we can add into that? Has anyone else got any interesting ideas or points that they can use to build on that initial starting point? And what that does is that sets a level that's higher in terms of intellectual challenge, in terms of rigor in your classroom. And it says to the young people, in this space, we value deep thinking. And we value pushing ourselves to see if there's more that we can explore and talk about. And in really, really, really good classrooms where this is a habit, a teacher can just say more or build on that. And just that one word is enough for that young person to dig a little bit deeper and see what else they can excavate in terms of coming up with ideas for that question. And we can really follow that probe on every single level as we go through. And certainly that requires us to know the class fairly well. And it's something we can do and build in as we build up that relationship. And it's a brilliant tool of differentiation. You might get an initial answer and you might know that Jacqueline at the back of the room is really going to build on that. So you might say to Jacqueline, Jacqueline, I'm sensing you've got something more there. I'm wondering if you can add to that. or build on that answer. And even a little phrase like I'm wondering or I'm curious about, all those great coaching questions, they take a little bit of pressure off the young person in terms of being asked to build on something. And they might say no. And again, that's absolutely fine. And you can move to somebody else in the room. Okay, a fourth technique I'd like to talk about is Doug Lemmer's brilliant technique, which is cold call. Now, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Doug Lemmer for the Beyond Survival, the New Teacher podcast, and he was one of the best guests and most inspiring people I've ever spoken to on the show. Incredibly intelligent, warm, and reflective about teaching. And I think cold call is great in principle. And the principle is obviously that you're asking questions of a class with hands down. And what it does is it makes sure, again, that everybody is thinking in the room and that everybody is engaging with the question. And then you nominate a student to answer the question. And it takes away that culture where Jimmy and Jacqueline are answering everything and that the rest of the class are daydreaming about COD or Man United Arsenal or whatever. So you've got everybody thinking. But for me, I like to add on an additional part to that, which is to signal cold call. And signaling cold call for me is important because there's a risk, and I know this isn't the intention in Doug Lemmer's technique, that it becomes a little bit like an army sergeant and you're kind of barking at kids and you're saying, you, 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 you. And for me, again, when it's used really well, it's signaled. So I'm going to be using cold call, or I'm going to be asking for three people in the room to give me an answer, and I'm having hands down for this. So there's a level of expectation and preparation that young people can go through, because they know they might be nominated to give an answer. And that signaling cold call for me is more compassionate, and it helps students like your introverts or your quieter students that you might have in the class. Now, I've written a whole book called A Quiet Education all about supporting introverts, and I feel really, really passionate about it. And cold call for me, I know would really fill me with fear in school unless I was in a position with somebody I trusted and unless I knew there was not judgment and I had the time to script an answer as a kind of classic introvert myself. So absolutely, I'm all for cold calling. And I'm all for it being embedded throughout the lesson. But there needs to be time given to using it appropriately and using it well. And time for that thinking time that we mentioned a moment ago. Okay, I've got one more. I've got a minute and a half. So my last point is about just making sure that questioning in the classroom isn't just used as a verbal way of being, because it isn't in any other form of life. And we've got to think about actually opening up ways to get that participation rate in the classroom increased. So written responses are great for this. I've mentioned this already. Mini whiteboards are fantastic for this in terms of asking a question, getting everybody thinking, and then everybody holding up those mini whiteboards to give us a response. And that's a really useful way to check for understanding in the room. And we've got to really think about our ratio. Are we using more verbal questioning? Probably, and that's fine. But then we need to open that up and include some written responses so that children and young people who don't feel confident initially sharing in the classroom, we can scaffold that by asking them to write answers, by asking them to do that think, pair, share as they go through. Okay, so to summarise, there's been five techniques. The first, about the sincerity in which we ask the questions. The second, about the thinking time that we leave. So 3 to 5 seconds to increase the level of thinking. The third, following up, asking them to think deeper, think harder. The fourth, signaling cold call, making it a part of our practice, making it explicit when we're going to use it. And then finally, thinking about opening up that questioning lens so that we're looking at more than just verbal responses. So I hope you found that interesting and useful for your own practice. What I'd really appreciate, as always, is if you have found this useful, please pass it on. Brilliant to see some subscribers flying in from the first video. So please do subscribe to this channel. It'll be uploaded every week after this week with an interview and a talk. And yeah, all in the service, hopefully, of providing useful stuff for teachers in the first few years of their careers. Thank you so much for listening and for watching.